And I've been wrestling with the Lord over where I'm supposed to be tonight. I thought I had it settled.
I really did.
And had a message I was going to preach, and on my way in, the Lord just would not give me any peace. And he brought me over here to Romans 6. I believe this is where we need to be. So we're going to look at some verses in Romans 6. And I want to preach just a little while. I'm going to try not to be too long because of the other things we have tonight. But I want to preach on the subject, the idea of how to have victory over sin. How to have victory over sin. In Romans 6, Paul's writing, this chapter is about sin and how we are to be victorious over sin. I am amazed at how many times I hear liberal preachers proclaiming that God's not concerned about how you live and never mentioning sin or condemning sin or anything of that nature. And I find that very offensive because God has a lot to say about dealing with sin in our life. And one of the key passages is here in Romans 6, 1 and 2, where Paul says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Some people were saying, hey, look up here. Some people were running around saying this: we're under grace. We're not under the law anymore. We're under grace, so it doesn't matter how we live. As a matter of fact, some people were saying, the more we sin, the more of God's grace we take advantage of. Huh? And Paul had to deal with that kind of attitude and that kind of thinking. And amazingly, we're still dealing with it today. People who are saying and thinking and believing, I can do anything I want to do. I can live any old way I want to live. I'm saved. I'm under God's grace. And His grace covers all my sin. It's all. Well, Romans chapter 6 refutes that kind of thinking. And so Paul says, what shall we continue? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Heavens, no. No way, Jose. How should we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now I want you to skip on down to verse 12. Paul says this: let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body or be the ruler of your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 14, this is a key verse. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Father, bless this time we're going to spend. I pray that you'd open our eyes of understanding. Lord, help us to realize we must deal with our sin, and we can have and ought to have victory over the sin in our lives. Speak to us now through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm preaching tonight from one piece of paper. Which is not normal for me. I marvel, Brother Jeffcoat, have you ever watched him when he comes to the pulpit? He has one piece of paper, and he'll have maybe three or four things written on it. But God hadn't blessed me that way. And I get real nervous when God tells me to do this. But we're going to be okay, because this is what he wants. And so we're going to work through these few things on this piece of paper. Number one, we're going to see that we all have sin issues. See, when we're talking about sin, don't look at the people next to you and around you and say, well, they got an issue. No, you have an issue. Every one of us has sin issues in our life. That's why we need a Savior. The thing is, we have to learn to deal with the sin issues. So many Christians just want to ignore them. Just want to, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good in this area, in this area. That one area where I, no. We've got to deal with our sin issues. Paul, over in Romans 7, the very next chapter, goes into how even he, as spiritual a man as Paul was, had the same battle we have. He had to fight sin every day. He had to fight the old man, the old nature, the desires to live in the flesh. And we have to fight that same battle. But you see, Paul wants us to understand, and God, through the Holy Spirit working through Paul to put this down on the paper, wants us to know we can overcome sin. We can be victorious. Now, understand this. Christ saved us from the penalty of sin. When you got saved, delivered from the penalty of sin. What's the penalty for sin? Death. The wages of sin is? That's eternal separation from God. When you got saved, that penalty for your having sin and being a sinner was totally taken care of as far as your eternal destiny is settled. Your sin has been washed away. You're under the blood of Jesus Christ. You will not have to pay the debt because he paid that debt for your sin already. So that issue is settled. The penalty part is settled. So when we got saved, we're delivered. It's kind of in the past. I got saved. I got delivered. Do we go out again? Are we there? Okay. When we got saved, we got delivered. It's not working. It's working.
Hello.
We're there. When you got saved, you got delivered from that penalty. It's in the past. It's finished. Done. Now, in the present, Christ saves us from the power of sin. From the penalty in the past, right now, he has saved us from the power, the bondage that sin had over us. You sang this morning, he holds the key. He holds the key to set us free. And if I remember, a part of that song says the shackles were laying on the ground that I used to have to wear when I was a slave to sin. But Jesus had the key, and he set me free, and I'm free now from the power of sin. I don't have to sin. When I sin, it's because I choose to. I surrender to the wooing of the devil and the flesh and the world and whatever else is trying to get me to sin. That's when I sin. But I don't have to. I have been delivered from the power of sin. And then Christ saves us from the presence of sin. That's future. He saved me in the past from the penalty of my sin. He saved me now from the power of sin to live this life the way he wants me to live it. And then in the future, he saved me from the very presence of sin. See, when I die, I'm going to heaven, and there's no sin in heaven. I'm going to a perfect place, and I will spend all eternity in a perfect place in heaven. That's a wonderful blessing and thought. So we have been delivered from the power, from the penalty, from the presence of sin by Jesus Christ. Now we get to down here where the rubber meets the road. There's a problem. We've been delivered, but we don't live in that deliverance. I don't want anybody to raise their hand, but if I ask the question, how many of you in this room have sinned in the last day? Every hand in here would have to go up. You see, because we're sinners, and we're going to sin, that's a part of this battle that we face every day. Now we have to deal with it. And here's how we deal with it. Number one, we have to admit we have a problem. I learned a long time ago, you can't help somebody that has a problem until they will admit they have the problem. Listen, I have all my life had to be careful about my weight. Struggled with that thing. I've had the ups and downs. I've had the fat clothes and the skinny clothes. Yeah, some of you know. You know, you get up and figure out what's going to buckle and snap and zip today. So I've had to fight that battle. I've had times where I've been on diets. And I've been on some pretty serious diets. But I learned this. Nobody can make me lose weight until I decide I want to lose weight. You got that? People who say, well, you know, they need to quit smoking. Nobody's going to make them quit smoking cigarettes till they decide this is wrong and I need to quit it. All the harping we do on them isn't going to make them quit. Alcoholic is not going to stop drinking liquor till he or she comes to that recognition, I have a problem that I need to deal with. There was a gal on the TV yesterday, Elizabeth Vargas. She's one of the news people on, I guess it's ABC. But they were showing and giving her testimony of how for several years she was an alcoholic. And she was hiding it, trying to anyway. And she went for a long time that way till one day she was faced with the reality she had a problem with liquor. And she went into the rehabs, into the programs, etc. Now she's come out and she's not drinking, you know, and she went through her testimony about all that. But it had to come to a place where she made that decision and admitted, I have a problem. And you know, many Christians are not willing to admit, I have a sin problem. Sometimes it's that one besetting sin. I just can't seem to get the victory. Well, the reason you don't have the victory is because what we're talking about tonight. Number one, you need to come to the place where you say, I have a sin problem. Whether it's my eyes or my language or my activities or whatever it might be, you have to come to that admission, I have a problem in this area. Say amen. Amen. Don't go to sleep on me now. See, that's why 1 John 1:9 is in our Bible. If I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That was written to save people. And it's written to people who will come to that place and say, this is wrong. It's wrong against God. It's wrong for my life. And go to the Lord in repentance, confess, and forsake that sin. But number one, you got to admit it. Then number two, if you're going to deal with your sin, you got to affirm your purpose to stay clean. I want you to go to Psalm 119. Psalm. I want you to notice something there. Of course, if you know your Bible, you know that this whole psalm is about the Word of God. All 170, verses. About the Word of God. There's a reference in every verse to the Word of God in some way. Now, beginning with verse 9. Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his way? Okay, let's say that in a little more understandable something. How do I deal with my sin? How do I get clean and stay clean? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Now, in that passage there, we find how we are to deal with our sin and get victory and stay victorious. The psalmist says he's going to hide God's word in his heart. The psalmist says he's going to purpose to stay clean. In verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I want to be clean, and I'm purposing that I am not going to go back to that sin. I am not going to live in the bondage of that thing. It takes a decision. It takes purposing that that's how I'm going to live from now on. And that's what the psalmist is saying here. And then he gives some points, if you will, on how to apply protection to keep clean. In verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Get your nose in the book and start hiding the book in your heart. Don't just carry it around. Internalize it. See, I don't know about you, but I don't walk around with a Bible on me all the time. I love my Bible. I read my Bible. Spend a lot of time in it. But there's times during the day you'll find me where I don't have a Bible in my hand. Huh? You know, the enemy is not going to try to attack you, I don't believe, as much when you got your nose in his book as he does when you put the book down and you head out to Walmart. You put the book down and you go to work. You put the book down and you go out about your business. All right? Now he's all over you. Hey fellas, we're at the Walmart and here comes the parade. Especially in the summertime. You know what parade I'm talking about. The women who are trying to get you to look at them. Hello. See, that's why a woman dresses that way. Ladies, you listening? The reason a woman wears clothes that accentuate her figure is to get you to look at her. I hope you gals are listening. The reason a woman wears a low-cut top, because she wants you to look. The reason she wears these short skirts, when she walks by, she wants you to take a second look. Huh? Quiet in here. I'm telling you the truth. And fellas, we understand it. We know. Listen, there's a lot of times at the Walmart I got to look the other way. Because I see something coming and I know what it's all about. It's about getting me to sin in my heart. Yeah. Okay, you don't go to Walmart. How about when you get in your car? Any of you have an automobile? You put your Bible down, you go get in your car, you're going to go to work, you start down the road, and somebody cuts you off. And here comes the flesh. Ain't nothing spiritual about you now. I mean, you are Mr. Flesh. You're ready to start spouting things. You're ready to start making gestures. You're ready to... Huh? That's why we've got to hide this in our heart. See, so when I go to the Walmart, I still have the principles of God's Word in my heart. I may not have the written word in front of my face, but I have the principles and precepts of that book hidden here. So I know what's right. I know what's wrong. And I can apply the principles of God's word when I might not even have it before my eyes. When I get in that automobile and that kind of thing happens, I still have the principles of God in my heart. I'm not supposed to use that kind of language. I'm not supposed to be that kind of person. I'm not supposed to be unkind and all that that the world is out there. We've got to hide it in our heart. You ever memorize any scriptures other than John 3:16? Well, I just don't memorize very well. Join the club. And you know, when you get older, it gets a little more difficult. Huh? You ever notice how these little ones can memorize stuff? Man, they get up and spout stuff, you want to slap them. And we try to memorize, you know. But we've got to work on memorizing God's word. Getting it down in here. Number one, we got to memorize. Then we got to personalize it. Look at verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me, thy statutes. Not us. Not the church. Not even my family. Though we want all that. But this psalmist is getting real, real down where the rubber's meeting the road here. God, teach me. When's the last time you asked God to teach you? I dealt with the subject of the Holy Spirit last week, how he's our teacher. When we're reading our Bible, we ought to be asking God, teach us. Teach me, O Lord. Internalize it. Personalize it. And look at verse 13. Verbalize it. He says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. What do you do with your lips? Well, if you're married, you can smooch. Amen. That's a good reason to get married, so you can smooch. Young people, you better not be smooching until you're married. You can smooch your mom and your daddy, and you keep your hands off them other folks. You eat, but how about rehearsing outward? You speak to people. But how many times do you speak the word of God to people? He says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. See, when I read that, you know what I see? I see soul winning. Oh, I knew he'd get to it. Giving money, soul winning, reading your Bible. Yeah. See, when you go soul winning, you're declaring the precepts and the judgments of God. When's the last time you declared to somebody that they can be saved, that Jesus loves them, that God loves them enough to send the Savior to die for them, that they don't have to die and go to hell, they can go to heaven. Amen. And God's made a way. When's the last time you declared any of that to somebody? Oh, boy, is it quiet. Victory over sin. How can I have the victory? I can hide the word in my heart. I can memorize scripture. I can personalize the word. Teach me. I can get my nose in this book and learn what God has to say. And I can verbalize his word. I can start sharing it. And then I can internalize the word. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Meditate. Amen. See, as believers, a lot of us have this idea, meditation is something evil. See, we hear about the yoga people, you know, meditating, and some of these weird people, they meditate and they repeat phrases over and over, you know, that kind of, and that's what we think of. No, I've told you before, that word meditate is to rehash in your heart and in your mind and think on and dwell on. I've used the illustration of the cow that keeps bringing up what she ate so she can chew it and get everything out of it. And that's what we're supposed to do mentally with the Word of God. Not just read it, think about it. Contemplate it. Do you think much about what you're reading? When you read something, do you stop and think about, okay, who's this being written to? Why is it being written? What's going on here? Or do you just read a bunch of words and then make your little check on the chart? I read. Well, meditate. Listen, we're a busy society. Everybody's busy. I think we're probably the busiest people that ever existed on this earth. And we get nothing done. Huh? I mean, we go from morning till night, and what do we accomplish? We're on that treadmill. Well, I made more money. Wonderful. This week you'll spend more money. Oh, how do you know that? Because it's a principle. The more you make, the more you spend. Well, I got a promotion. Well, that's wonderful, but pretty soon you'll get laid off or, you know, you'll retire, whatever, that'll be done. What have you accomplished? Treadmill. We need to slow down a little bit and begin to take time to meditate, to think about God's Word. Rehash it in our heart and in our mind. And then verse 16, we mentioned this. Memorize God's Word. Now he says he'll hide it in his heart. And then he says this in verse 16. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Let's stop there for a minute. When I read that, I don't see a man who would say, oh, I got to read my Bible. I don't see a person there who would say, oh, I got to live by these statutes of God. Oh, I got saved and now I got to live the Christian life. Oh. Is that what you see here? He says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I am going to be happy in living by God's statutes. I'm going to thank him for giving me his statutes to live by. I'm not going to see the Christian life as drudgery, but as a joy. Our brother talked about having joy. Listen, there's a world out there. You get around them, you find out they don't have any joy. Man, I mean, they're struggling. They're going from one minute to the next, and they have really no hope. We have the hope in Christ. Delight yourself in his statutes. Parents, do your children see you delighting in serving the Lord? Do you try to encourage your children and get them enthused about, hey, we get to go serve the Lord. We get to go soul. We get to go to church. We get to go do this. Hey, we get to give in the missions fund. That's how we should be. And then he says, I will not forget thy word. Does anybody in here ever forget anything? Brother, it's going to get worse. We joke about it, but I'm telling you, you walk into a room and you forget why you went in a room. I know I came in here for something. Huh? Some of you younger folks, you know, you have no idea. I told you about the gal down south there in Gastonia. She was from Maine. She had moved to Rhode Island and lived in Rhode Island for a long time. And then her husband got transferred down to Gastonia, North Carolina. And so they moved there. And she talked with that Maine accent. She came one day and she said, Pastor, I brought you some memory pills. I said, some what? Memory pills. You take these and they're going to help your memory. I said, well, thank you, Miss Marquita. I really appreciate you thinking about me. Well, I know sometimes it's hard, you know, as you get older to remember and things. And I've been taking them, been helping me, and I got you some memory pills. I said, oh. So I took them home. A couple weeks later, she came. She said, Pastor, how are those memory pills who are working? I said, not so good. I keep forgetting to take them. We forget things, sometimes out of convenience. But the psalmist says, look there, verse 16, I will not forget thy word. Now let me ask you something. If you don't want to forget something, what do? Write it down. What else do you do? My wife tries to remember names, and I do this too, you probably do. In order to remember names, we try to relate it to something so we don't forget. Write it down. Sometimes some of you are electronically able. I'm challenged. You're able. You can make your phone remind you. Huh? And then you get mad at your phone because it reminded you. You can put it on the calendar. And our calendars have those little things, you know, if you want to remember some things, you put them little stickers on there. You realize all of that is you making an effort not to forget something? Do you ever make an effort not to forget God's word? What are you talking about? Have you ever come across a verse of blessed your heart, written it down? Fellas, maybe you wrote it down and it blessed you, so you stuck it on the mirror where you shave. Because it just blessed your heart. And you don't want to forget it. And maybe you rehearsed it to your wife or somebody, hey, I had a verse bless me today. Because you don't want to forget. Maybe you underlined it in your Bible or circled it in your Bible or marked it in your Bible because you don't want to forget it. Listen, you are not going to remember God's word by accident. I don't know why we think this Christian life is some kind of supernatural that just happens. If you're really going to live the Christian life like God wants you to live it, you have to work at it. It takes effort. It don't just happen. And there's the problem with most Christians. They do not want to make the effort. I'll live the Christian life. God just makes me. Huh? I'll quit sinning if God just makes me. Be careful about that. He might just make you. What do you mean, preacher? Well, for instance, sometimes people have a problem smoking cigarettes, and down the road they find out they got lung cancer. And most of the time they're smart enough then to quit. Huh? Or maybe the alcoholic. Brother Stan gives his testimony how he was an alcoholic for years, until he had that wreck in his truck. Remember how he told us about that? See, sometimes God brings you to that place where it's decision time. And see, I believe decision time means you're mine, you're saved, and it's time for decision. If you're not going to do the right thing now, I'm going to take you home. See, I just believe that. But see, we're not supposed to make God bring us to that place. We're supposed to be willing and make the effort to live the Christian life. It takes work. I'm not going to say it don't. It takes discipline. It takes some sacrifice. That's all a part of the Christian life. But that's the life that people don't want to live today as Christians. But we must. Dealing with our sin. Hey, we all have it. Don't look at other people and don't point the finger at everybody else. We all have it. We have sin problems. We have issues. We need to deal with them. And here's some ways to get the victory. See, Paul says, remember in Romans 6, we're supposed to have the victory. We're not supposed to be enslaved by sin. The victory is available. But we have to do the work to get it. And here's some things to help you. Let's pray. Father, we pray tonight again that you would help us to admit where we have sin issues. We can fool everyone else, but Lord, we can't fool you. You know the issues we have. And help us to come to that place where we're willing to admit it and have that desire to change it. And then, Lord, help us to be willing to do the work to have the victory. Thank you that it's available. Thank you that we don't have to be slaves to sin. But help us to be willing to do that which is needed, necessary, to get the victory and to keep the victory in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I wonder how many would say tonight, preacher, you're right. God's word is right. I have some issues that I need to deal with. And I'm admitting it tonight. I'm being open with the Lord. I'm admitting I have some issues need to be dealt with. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. As far as I'm concerned, every hand in here ought to be up. You all have. I wonder how many tonight would say, preacher, God has brought some things before my eyes tonight that I need to deal with. I'm making a commitment. I'm going to deal with it. I have come to that place. I'm tired of being a slave to sin. I'm tired of sin ruling in my life. And tonight I'm making a decision. I am going to take the steps necessary to get the victory. Here's my hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I have not been in the Word like I ought to be, like the psalmist was. I haven't memorized. I haven't meditated. I haven't really studied. I haven't given it to other people. Preacher, tonight, God's dealing with me about being in His Word and internalizing it, personalizing it. I'm making a decision tonight. I'm going down that road. I'm going to start being a student of the Bible like I should and get it hidden in my heart like I should. Here's my hand. Hold it up high. Hold it up high. God bless you. Let's stand together.